You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. There's something that can happen when you're a healer or an intuitive, someone drawn to spiritual or energetic work. You'll be about to share something you know, or you want to express something that you've experienced, something that matters a lot to you, or you feel that's really inside of you and it's time to share it. And what happens is you start to feel a kind of resistance inside of yourself. You're ready to step forward with your gifts and really be visible and share whatever it is that you feel is so important to share. But suddenly that resistance makes you want to pull back. It makes you want to really condense yourself down and not draw attention to yourself, make yourself smaller, and you might find reasons why now isn't the right time. And deep down inside of yourself, you'll know that what you have to share is really vital and that you came with that message. And there are people that are waiting to hear you convey it to them, to share it with them. And you think, oh, it's my anxiety. Oh, it's my nerves. Maybe you feel on some level that you have a kind of imposter syndrome. But my question for you today is, if you really have got that message to share and you feel that resistance to step forward, could it be the effects of a witch wound? Centuries of witch hunts, of witch trials, of witch punishments, even witch executions, the systemic suppression of intuitives and mystical practices. It's a wounding that runs through your ancestral lines. It sits in collective memory. And it affects us in ways that we don't always recognise at first, which is why I'm asking, could you have a witch wound? In my experience, a witch wound's a very real thing. It's really pervasive as well. And it's so deep, it's almost an unconscious fear, a subconscious one. It's a trauma, I'm sure, that people carry from being a part of some level of persecution that was experienced with healers, midwives, intuitives, herbalists, practitioners and shamans of all manner of traditions. I think a witch wound is an inherited probability. Multiple collective traumas, experienced over centuries, over lifetimes, exploring these themes around any form of what a witch hunt might mean. Witch trials, witch banishments, witch shaming, witch suspicions, witch punishments, from ducking stools to burnings to executions, anything that challenged and was a non-conforming practice of its time could have resulted in you playing a role in some form of witch wound. So throughout our incarnations, we've likely played many different roles in this wounding exploration. You might have been the one persecuted. That's the witch or the healer. Maybe you were a midwife, a herbalist that just knew things. You might have been the persecutor, the one that did the hunting, the accusing, the punishing, or even the executing. You might have been the witness that stood by, present but silent, watching it unfold, but unable to do anything to intervene. You might have been the instigator, the one who started the rumours, who pointed the finger, who stirred up any suspicion. Maybe you were the authority, the judge who presided over the trial, the church official who sanctioned any kind of persecution for someone who was different or thought differently. The magistrate, if there was one, who eventually signed off an order. Maybe you were the betrayer, the neighbour who turned someone in, the friend that testified against them, the family member who chose their own safety over the loyalty to you. You could have been complicit, benefiting from someone else's persecution, taking their land, their clients, their position after they were gone. And if you were the survivor left with survivor's guilt because you were the one who watched but were powerless to do anything, perhaps you couldn't help because you froze. You couldn't help because you held back. You couldn't help because there was a guilt there. Perhaps it was shrewd, you thought, and brought safety and relief, but it also brought that guilt because you survived. Because you were the one who learnt to hide, their gifts more carefully, more cautiously, more cunningly. You were the one that inherited the shame, the fear, the guilt, and the warnings about being too visible, too different. But you were also the one that ultimately survived because of that cumulative wisdom. We can't know which roles we explored in our previous incarnations. So it's, to me, makes more sense to accept that across different incarnations, throughout those different timelines, those alternative realities, we could probably have been any or all of those different roles. This isn't comfortable to consider, I suppose, but it's often the case that in our incarnations, we explore all the different roles so we have conscious perspective. And understanding that we might have been on all sides of this wounding, that's where a practice called the Ho'oponopono is so powerful and so clearing for witch wounds. I use this Hawaiian forgiveness and reconciliation mantra to help clear those sticky, pervasive energies when it involves something like a witch wound. It goes, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. Each of those different parts of this phrase represents a different role that could be played. And this ancient Hawaiian practice lets you make peace with all aspects of the wounding, all roles you've played, all those in authority who created these witch wounds, all of those you too may have imposed wounds upon, or all of those who also imposed woundings upon you or on people that you loved. And the beauty of the Ho'oponopono is that it doesn't require you to know the specific details of what you are trying to clear. You don't need to recall which incarnation it was and which role you were playing or which event and what happened. You simply acknowledge that somewhere in your soul history, all of these roles could have existed, and therefore you step up to the line and you say, I will assume all of those roles existed, and you make peace with all aspects of them. And when you don't know if you were perhaps the victim or the persecutor or the witness or the instigator or the judge, well, the Ho'oponopono, it addresses all of it simultaneously. You might not know this, but in Britain, the witchcraft laws were only repealed in 1945. That's less than 100 years ago. There aren't that many generations that have moved on since fearing witchcraft and the result of what could be happened if you were proved to be a witch, a medium, a clairvoyant, a herbalist, a shaman, a priestess, a priest, a goddess. This isn't distant history for us. It's recent and it's raw and it reverberates through the generations still. So how does this show up in your life? There is often this strange contradiction at the heart of it, I think. You want to share your gifts and you don't want to share them at the same time. You get the kind of a resistance that comes up despite you knowing that you have gifts to share and that who better than you to share them. And you want to step into your spiritual authority and yet you also resist that. These opposing forces, they create a kind of resistance, paralysis, stuckness in your energy field. And you're caught between that authentic impulse to be the person that's incarnated to shine in that moment and the protective impulse in order to hide. And what's really interesting, if we continue with this exploration of the different roles, perhaps you could be somebody who sees a friend that wants to step into their spiritual authority. And what you do is you say, no, resist, it's not your time yet. Perhaps you are the force that creates the paralysis and the stuckness. Consider that. Maybe you're caught between an authentic impulse to protect somebody that you know, to not judge somebody that you know, or any of the other roles that you might be playing. You are not always the person that is being wounded. I think a lot of this, though, certainly the experiences that I'm coming across with my clients, is when they fear being fully visible in their work. This isn't ordinary nervousness or apprehension. It's actually something a lot deeper. And they hold back from speaking their truth and sharing their gifts, especially if it in any way diverges from what's currently acceptable. So you offer your gifts, but you almost minimize them into a container of what is popular or what's accepted or what's going to bring you praise. You don't want to rock the spiritual boat. And so what you might do is have these thoughts, but you apologize for them before you share them. You say things like, well, I don't know where this is coming from, but this is how I feel. And I know it's contrary to accepted beliefs, but it's in this feeling is in me anyway. And you do that because you anticipate some level of judgment and rejection. You're almost waiting in anticipation for people to turn on you because that's what you learned through the roles you played in those witch woundings. I think that memory doesn't always come through as clear past life recall, although you can do past life work in order to find it. More often, I think it shows up as a kind of inexplicable knowing. And so as you're listening to my show today on UK Health Radio, you might say, do you know what? I don't know why, but there is something about that that seems right to me. And no doubt you'll feel that something bad could happen if you or someone you cared about stepped too far forward. Maybe you feel it as a tightening in your body when you consider being very public about your work, that sudden urge to delete that post or cancel that talk or withdraw that offer to help or not write that book or to offer to do that course. These aren't random anxieties, as far as I'm concerned. They're your deeply held system, protective systems, trying to protect you based on the historical evidence that you've accumulated through the explorations of witch wounding. And the conclusion that you will have come to is that being visible as a healer or an intuitive was in some ways incredibly dangerous. So what happens is healers that have these witch wound resistances, these witch wounds that they are exploring and wrestling with, they can actually start to choose isolation as a preference, as opposed to being surrounded by people. I think it's a survival mechanism, and it's encoded into the energy field as a kind of memory. So you don't choose to isolate and hide because you prefer solitude. Quite the opposite. You're doing it because somewhere in your being, you remember what happened when you allowed yourself to be visible, when you trusted community, when you shared your gifts openly. And what happened was persecution or betrayal, or you might have even faced something like death. You're choosing it because somewhere in your being, you remember what happened to other people when they were visible, when they trusted a community, when they shared their gifts openly. When community turns on you, either in this lifetime or in another, it becomes difficult not to choose isolation, and you retreat into spaces that you are able to control completely because you feel safer working alone than in community with others. And when someone praises you or they recognize what you do, you can mistrust it. You're looking behind the phrase, you're looking at the body language, you're trying to work out what role they play in this witch wounding. And this is where that pattern starts: hiding, minimizing, apologizing for your gifts before anybody else can dismiss them or accuse you of anything. And you hide away, you hide your gifts. You're trying to protect yourself. Should someone turn against you, you're not so visible, not so committed to what you're saying. You're not so exposed that you can't retreat quickly to safety, especially when you're in a space it's your own. Isolated there, yes. Excluded there, yes. But in that place, nobody can get to you. And this pattern, it prevents you from building the communities you need and sharing the gifts that you came here to offer, because you isolate. So there's reluctance to speak. I think it comes from the thyroid. The thyroid is a gatekeeper. It acts as a gatekeeper, creating a tension between what you want to say and when it feels safe to say it. And when this thyroid holds any kind of persecution memory, it will whisper to you. It will tell you that this is not safe, this is not good to talk about, that you're going to put yourself or other people in danger when you actually speak up. It might say there's something different about you. Don't draw attention to the fact that you're different. Don't let other people know that there's something strange about you that ought to be questioned, perhaps interrogated and explored. It might be that you're too much, that people won't understand that you have so much to give, and they'll question it, and they'll question you, and they'll doubt it, and they could doubt you. And all of these voices lead to one simple conclusion. The thyroid says, you have a lot to say, but you simply must not speak up. Silence is now your best defence.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
On my show today, we're exploring the witch wound, that deep fear of being visible, of speaking your truth, of offering gifts openly. Let's have a look at why this is so tricky, because it operates on multiple levels, and how you recognise it in yourself or others it also is something that works on multiple levels too. So if you've been both the oppressed in past lives and you've been the oppressor in past lives, well, you're going to carry knowledge of both experiences, aren't you? What an incredible body of wisdom that would be. But because of that, you can tell yourself from both and all perspectives all the ways you could end up being oppressed in this lifetime, and that makes your protective shields hypervigilant. They'll be constantly triggering, constantly alerting you to potential dangers, constantly telling you if you're not careful, you could be rooted out. And when those fears show up in your present reality, you begin to trust the defensive shields much more than your inner intuition. The mechanisms designed to keep you safe become the things keeping you small. You second guess yourself, you wait for permission from others, you look for signs that it's safe to proceed. But because your shields are primed to see danger, you'll always find reasons to hold back. The witch wound operates on multiple levels at once. There's the pre-trauma setup, the cultural climate, let's say, that made persecution possible, the building tension, the growing suspicion towards anyone that was different or did things differently. And then there's the trauma itself, the accusation, the trial, the punishment, the execution, if there was one. And there's the post-trauma events. What happened to your family, your community, your legacy, the memory of those events stored not just in your mind, but in your body, in your energy field, your soul record, your communal records. And the echoes and the repeating patterns, they reverberate right the way through the timelines, showing up in this lifetime whenever circumstances feel similar or there's something about it that your hypervigilance tells you is necessary for you to watch very carefully. So this exists in your personal energy field, your ancestral memory and records, and it's passed down through the family lines. It's carried in the DNA. I've seen it there. It's in the family stories. It's in our communities. It's in unspoken warnings about being too different or too visible. It's everywhere. It's in the collective consciousness, let's say that. That shared memory taken from centuries of whatever happened, whether it was persecution or cultural trauma, or whatever it was that affected us all, whether we had ancestral experience of it personally or not. Past life contracts, I work with those a lot, especially around judgment and oppression. They create really deep mistrust in the ancestral lines, in the energetic records. Mistrust of authority figures, of institutions like churches or courts or governments that systematically started witch hunts. Even of people that are important to you, because sometimes it was friends or neighbours or family members or associates who actually ended up being the ones that turned you in. And so isolation is the result of you anticipating desertion. So you stay alert to anything or anyone that echoes the oppression patterns from the past lifetimes you've experienced. So a critical comment, quite in passing, can feel like an accusation. Maybe it wasn't even critical in the first place. Someone questioning your methods can feel like a direct attack, like a trial. Success and visibility can feel like stepping into the spotlight right before a punishment or execution of some kind. Your energy field remembers, even if your conscious mind doesn't. These are energetic residues, things that are sharp, that hook into your auric field or emerge from within it. They cause tears and blocks. I often see pins and thorns and energetic imprints of violence, let's say, that occurred during persecution or words that were spoken at the time. These show up as persistent self-doubt, that voice in our heads that says this is not safe. Sudden, inexplicable fears, just as it was back then. they're the thorns amongst all of the potential of your spiritual gifts. So how do you know if you carry this? Do you feel fear when you consider being fully visible in your work? Not just normal nervousness, but a deep fear that something bad might happen if people really see you, if they really hear what you have to say. So do you hold back from speaking your truth, particularly when it's different from the norm? Do you catch yourself dimming your light, making yourself less threatening to others, less noticeable to them? Maybe you minimize your gifts. You don't let people know what you're truly capable of. And when someone asks you what you do, do you give a sort of a vague answer or downplay it in some way? Do you feel safer in isolation than in community? How do you feel about praise? And when someone compliments your work, do you immediately look for the catch, the moment that they might turn upon you? I think anticipating judgment whenever you share your abilities is going to mean that you are left braced for criticism, for people to call you a fraud or to question your legitimacy. And do you feel that tension? And if you do, where do you feel it? Do you feel it in your chest and in that thyroid area when you think about speaking up? What physical sensation is it? Is it tightness or a closing or a lump or difficulty swallowing? And do you have an internal voice telling you that either you are too much or too strange or too different or that you are too challenging in some ways? Are you waiting for people to turn on you? And even when things are going well, is there part of you that just expects it all to fall apart because you're going to be found out? When you're in a circle of friends and it's your turn to be acknowledged, do you ever deflect that? Do you minimize it? Do you make a joke? Do you change the subject? Are you inexplicit in your answers? Does silence always feel like your safest option? So if any of this resonates, even one or two of these patterns, it's possible you're carrying some form of witch wound. This is the natural result of potentially centuries of lifetimes of persecution, ancestral trauma, collective consciousness, memory. And your system developed these protective mechanisms for really good reasons, because they knew that it would keep you safe and it would keep your ancestors safe and it would allow your lineage to survive. But what was protective then may actually be more limiting now. Healing starts with acknowledgement, recognizing that you have played many roles throughout your incarnations and that you carry both the memory of the persecution and potentially the memory of the persecuted. The witness, the instigator, the authority, the betrayer, the complicit, the survivor, any of those and more. And that's why I say the Ho'oponopono is such a powerful framework here. That I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. This practice lets us make peace with all aspects of the wound and the roles that we could have played in it. So you don't need to know the specific details, as I said before. You don't even need to recall which incarnation or what role or what event, although I do know people when they do past life work that they can find that out. I would say don't worry about it. Just acknowledge that somewhere in your soul history, somewhere there is an energetic record of all of these roles and that you could well have played all of them.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Today we've been looking at the witch wound, how it shows up, how to recognize it, how ancestral and collective memory affects you, and how it all comes together with you now in this incarnation. So let's explore what healing actually means and what becomes possible when we do that. So when you're clearing ancestral memory, soul records, those sorts of things from impacting you in this incarnation, what you're doing is you are releasing collective trauma, that shared human experience of centuries of witch hunts across Europe, the Americas, the world in general, and this collective wound that affects so many of us. It's in the cultural memory too. It's in a kind of morphic field. It's in the collective unconsciousness. And all the time, it is something that we're tapping into. And so what we need to do is dissolve any fear residues that are lodged in your energy field, because it's those imprints that are triggering your protective mechanisms, even when there's no present danger. And so they need to gently be removed, cleared and released. And it involves, I think, opening gateways for unprocessed memories to surface and to release, but without you even having to wrestle with them. I don't want you to embody them. I don't want you to feel like you have to work through them in any kind of detail. You don't need to relive any aspect of past life traumas, future life traumas, or current life traumas in order to clear this. What we want to do is allow those memories to come to us, if they want to, in their most gentle form. And we don't want to re-traumatize ourselves with them. We want to allow any and all healing without the suffering. And so I always say, begin with strong grounding, because you need to be grounded as you clear those wounds. And as you start to clear the woundings and as you reclaim your power, you need to feel totally secure. And so being strongly grounded is so important. It connects you to the earth, into your body, and to present time rather than past or future. And it reminds your entire energy systems that you're here now. This is a very different time than the old times when the dangers were very much in existence all around us. And it also requires thinking differently generally, thinking about the community. When community has been the source of betrayal and persecution, learning to trust community, well, it can take time. Don't rush it. But you can begin to create a sacred community around you, just small circles of people who understand your work and your place, who carry similar woundings or have been exposed to the same kinds of woundings through their lifetimes. And then what you can do is become committed to your healing and to your journeying together. And you can honour each other's gifts without feeling threatened by them. And you can celebrate someone else when they shine without feeling that that means you have to dim your own light. Each one of us has a great light and each one of us can cast a shadow. I always say that the trick is that as somebody else around us shines so brightly, we have to step out of their shadow into the brightness of our own light. Let yourself be honoured in return by this small group. Don't deflect anything. Don't minimise anything. Don't make yourself smaller. Be very proud of speaking up and saying exactly who you are, what you're here to bring, and how you intend to share what it is that you know that will be valuable for others. Call upon all those who hold wisdom, hold healing, who work with you throughout time, whether it's past, future, current. Call upon them on a deep level to walk with you and act as mentors. These are the wise ones, the healers, the shamans, the witches who practiced their gifts and survived, or were who persecuted but whose wisdom lived on nevertheless. They're part of your soul family, your lineage, your support system. Who you surround yourself with is who you become. And if you surround yourself with fear, with people who reinforce your need to hide, with environments that demand you stay small, well, you'll stay stuck in the wound. But if you surround yourself with people who are doing this healing work and who are encouraging your visibility and who are celebrating your gifts, you'll find it becomes easier to step forward. And you may have to find one person at a time to do that. And it may be that that person is not in the same group. Your group may consist of your relation with lots of individuals in different groups. So the goal really isn't about eliminating your fears entirely. I'm not sure if that's ever possible. There'll always be a bit of fear when you step out, if you feel different or when you've had past incarnations, including experiences in those incarnations that made you ultimately think that stepping out is probably not a good idea. Fear can't be what guides you forward now. You learn to feel the fear and you move forward anyway. And you speak even when your thyroid feels tight. You shine even when you might anticipate somebody in the audience could be judging you. I want you to share your gifts even if it makes you feel vulnerable. This doesn't mean being reckless, of course, but it does mean being discerning. Choose where and when and with whom you become visible. That's the best way forward. Build your capacity gradually. Build evidence that it is now safe to be able to do this. Healing your witch wound is about claiming your spiritual authority. Not in an egotistical way. It's not about being better than anyone else or having power over others. It's actually about claiming your gifts and sharing them without fear now, and being able to speak in groups or speak loudly and clearly or share your work, whether it's in a podcast or a book or whether it's some sort of audio file. Whenever you're sharing your work publicly, you're being an authority for what you know in your space. And what I would like you to do as you explore this is also acknowledge that the other incarnations that you've had, some with those people around you now, some which were not with the people around you now, deserve a really consistent Ho'oponopono. Because we don't know what roles we played. We don't know if we were their accuser in a different lifetime. We don't know if they were our accuser in a different lifetime. It's all about really knowing how you can express yourself now in ways that feel completely authentic and empowering, while also clearing away whatever those witch wounds are from previous incarnations. And it's all about not needing to hide. Not needing to hide who you are or what you believe or what you practice and what you know and what you're here to share. I'd like you to feel that you can fully be yourself, whether you are a Wiccan or a healer or an intuitive or a shaman, whatever word feels right for you. I'd like you to be able to show up therapist, practitioner, medic, guide, mentor, coach. I would like you to be able to show up without apology and without minimizing and certainly without fear of your old witch wounding. It is safe to do it. So I know that you'll have already done lots of work on yourself. You've already probably engaged in past life work and ancestral healing too. You've already completed significant energetic clearing. But it is now safe to practice. And it's safe to practice more openly. And so your witch wound might be ancient, but it needn't be permanent. It is old, yes, and it runs deep, yes. But it's not who you are now. It could be what you witnessed or what happened to you or happened to your ancestors or what happened in the collective. But what happened can be healed. And when you're ready, and not when someone else says you should be ready, but when you genuinely feel ready, allow yourself to emerge. Be fully empowered, fully authentic, and fully visible. The question isn't whether you have a witch wound. If you stuck with me this far, right to the end of my show, if any of this has indeed resonated with you, then you're likely carrying some aspect of it. But I believe if you have a witch wound, and step into that magnificence that I know that you are here to be. That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetics show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can up-level any part of your life.